Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the very first Dealer On webinar of 2016. It's the Dealer On Academy Q1 Automotive Marketing Briefing. My name is Eliana Raggio, and I'll be your moderator today. Today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. And for anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, well, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency, best known for our amazing SEO, the absolute best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the brand new Chameleon Responsive Website Platform. We're so committed to lead conversion, optimization, and customer service that Dealer On is still the only company in the industry to offer a money-back lead guarantee program. So does your website company guarantee you a 50% lift in leads or your money back? Well, maybe you should check us out at our gorgeous brand new Dealer On website at DealerOn.com. Hey, I gotta let you guys know, Dealer On is going to be exhibiting and presenting at the upcoming Digital Dealer Convention in Orlando later this month. If you're going to be there, you gotta stop by booth 401 and say hi. I'm going to be there. I'd love to see you. We have the best booth around, and while you're getting your Digital Dealer On, please check out the speaking sessions from these Dealer On executives. Remember, it's booth 401. Can't wait to see you there. And as if you needed to get another reason to stop by booth 401, well, guess what? We're going to be giving away passes to attend the party of the conference. That's right. Dealer On is going to be hosting the very best party on Wednesday night at Mango's Tropical Cafe at 9 p.m. And you're not going to want to miss it. Are you ready to party with the big boys? I bet you are. You better stop by booth 401 to pick up your free passes. We'll see you there. And we have a great show in store for you today. We're very excited to have members of the Dealer On executive team to speak with us today about current automotive marketing updates, industry perspectives, and best practices. This webinar is going to be packed with great information and is designed to be an interactive exchange with ample time dedicated to Q&A. Today, the members of the Dealer On leadership team that we have here include Ali Amirizvani. He's the president, CEO, and co-founder of Dealer On, and he's responsible for leading and growing the company toward an even brighter future. Sean Raines, who is the vice president of business development for Dealer On, and he focuses on extending Dealer On's OEM channel and business development initiatives. And Greg Gifford, our new director of search and social, and he is, of course, responsible for our comprehensive digital strategies that get dealers noticed online. So get your questions in during the presentation. You got to have questions, right? Please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond to you by email later today. Also, don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording is going to be emailed to you later today for your reference. And please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. Oh, and guess what? Our good friends at AutoHook are sponsoring this week's webinar giveaway. AutoHook is a showroom traffic driver. They've built the ultimate attribution engine, which tracks the customer through the lead, showroom visit, and purchase, and then delivers a cost per sale that's best in the industry. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win a $250 e-gift card direct from our friends at AutoHook. You have to be on the live broadcast to win it, though, so stay tuned, and you could be the one walking away with this awesome prize today. And for more information about AutoHook, visit lead2show.com. Also, at the conclusion of the webinar, you're going to receive a short survey. So fill it out, because we're always looking for quality feedback from our audience. Today, we're going to randomly select a couple of people from all those completed surveys to also win some Google prizes. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation. So tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. And you can also hit up the executive team at DealerOn. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. So let's get started with the very first DealerOn Academy 1 Q1 Automotive Marketing Briefing. And to kick us off, our very first presenter is none other than our fearless leader and big cheese, Ali Amirizvani. Ali, how are you, sir?
I am good, Eliana. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I have, you'll be happy to know, recovered from the holidays, as I hope you have as well. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you're going to say to everyone about Dealer On, what we did in the last year, and what we look forward to in 2016. Please, take it away.
All righty. So I guess first I just wanted to kind of start off by really just thanking our full family of dealers, partners, and really our friends for making 2015 really the best year yet, and we're really excited, looking forward to 2016. So I guess to start, let's give a little recap on 2015, the things that we've done. I mean, obviously, we've had, you know, just huge year-over-year growth, and again, we're just truly blessed and humbled by dealers that continue to choose DealerOn. In 2015, we've added four formal OEM programs from BMW, Volkswagen, Mitsubishi, and Kia. We're currently working on, which adds to, I guess now we have a total of eight different actual certified programs that we're part of. We are working on a couple additional ones that I can't mention as of now, but hopefully will be announced within the next couple of quarters. Other big news, we, you know, expanded our headquarters in Rockville, Maryland, added a whole nother floor here. We've also opened up offices in Michigan as well as Dallas in the third quarter of 2015. Some of these moves were tied to some of the growth that we've had through our new SEO product and SEM products. So, you know, that growth has been seen there. Dallas is really growing. We just actually opened up a brand new office there as well. We moved from the older office, and that's where the team's sitting there, looking so happy and cheery. As you know, Greg Gifford, the man with tons of hair there, has been a huge find. Was a huge find for us, and you know, he really came in and formally built out our elite SEO service, which has really been rocking for us. We've signed well over, I think, about 150 dealers now to the SEO service. We've also done quite a bit of investment in our digital advertising platform, which, you know, actually will leverage actual dealer sales and service market information in order for us to help build and optimize our campaigns. And it has a new system that's going to be accessing DMS to be able to provide full end-to-end ROI. Let's see, what else? Other items I guess we can mention, we've further invested in our responsive website platform and really have been looking at, you know, continually how do we continue to optimize for mobile. And as of now, we've made some recent improvements that causes our website to load faster than any other platform in the industry. And we're really looking at continuing optimizing there and adding even or hopefully taking off a few more seconds off the overall load time. I think we're down to under about 3 seconds as of now. 2016, let's talk about what's coming. One of the newest things we're going to be releasing is our Spanish language responsive platform. So it'll be a full end-to-end Spanish website, different URL. It's not going to be just based on translations. So that's something we're pretty excited about. We are going to be continuing to refine some of the ways that we use behavioral data and some of the data sharing that we have with some third parties that we're working with, and also leveraging our geo-targeting systems that we've recently rolled out and continue to invest in that. Obviously, continuing to look at ways in which we can, again, optimize the platform for mobile, for speed. Some of the other things that we're kind of excited about that will happen, hopefully by Q2, Q3 of 2016, where we can officially say that we've truly become a full-service digital agency with programmatic display and a full video advertising platform that we're really excited about. Other things to mention, I think I'm forgetting something here. Some of the other stuff with the digital advertising service that we're going to be adding in is competitive market data that we're going to be leveraging from multiple different sources, in which we can then further refine the way that we kind of use our SEM campaigns and the areas that we target and how we go about optimizing campaigns. We are going to be also rolling out on the SEM side a Hispanic digital advertising services as well that will tie into the Hispanic websites. And I guess last but not least, we are going to be releasing our kind of new and improved fixed operations digital advertising service platform. So that's going to be not only with integrating service content directly onto the dealer websites, also we have our service websites that are going to have kind of a whole new concept, I guess you can say, which again, both of these are going to be using DMS data and third-party data to be able to further how we go about advertising. And looking at things like info on garage vehicles in your geographic market as well, in terms of how that will play a role in optimizing our campaigns as well. know that was a huge mouthful, but those are some of the highlights of things that we're looking at rolling out for 2016 that are worth mentioning for now.
That's wonderful. Now, if they come by our booth at Digital Dealer, will they be able to see any of the new stuff or not until their projected launch dates?
There's a bunch of new stuff that they'll definitely be able to see at Digital Dealer. We are hoping to actually have one other piece that utilizes the Apple Wallet piece that hopefully will be done there that I haven't mentioned, which is going to be really awesome as well. But yes, they will be able to see almost everything I've discussed here, except the video advertising piece. But everything that I've mentioned is in beta, so most of it is available to view.
Excellent. We did have a quick question that came in from Mary Ann. She says, does DealerOn have plans for further office expansion in 2016?
Hopefully not.
Wait a minute.
Spend more time looking at new office space and furniture and obviously, hopefully, yes, we want to continue to expand and grow, but hopefully someone else can be involved in finding the office space and
painting the walls and moving in the furniture. And
exactly.
Okay. Darwin commented that looking at Sean and Greg, it looks like a growth beard chart. Thank you very much, Darwin. And Carrie says that Sean and Greg should smile more. There we go. Look at that, Carrie, just for you. All right, audience, if you have some more questions.
Maybe Ali should be more entertaining then.
Oh, boy. Okay, so audience, if you have some more questions, send them in. Now, we already have a load of questions already. Sean, Greg, before we get to these questions that I have already in the queue, do either of you also want to say anything about what happened in 2015 or what we expect in 2016?
Yes, I mean, Ali covered most of it. I think for Greg and I both, we were kind of right here in the middle of the kind of the storm of expansion in Texas. So it's funny that Ali says hopefully not, because we literally started moving our office that we just put up in July. We grew so fast because of this guy and his team that on New Year's Eve we were moving over into this new location, and really this week they're still kind of cleaning up from a bunch of stuff that's been done. So we're still right in the middle.
Hey, look, you can see.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, okay. We're going to turn the camera around.
Boom.
Wow.
Preview of the new thing.
So that's a good-looking office there, fellas.
It feels very startup. There's so much energy and there's a lot of fun, and we're working crazy long hours trying to get all these things together. And so there's a lot of fun in that. It's also very exhausting. So we've really kind of been in the middle of that storm of what's been happening out of Texas, and it's been really, really cool to have that happen. But other than that, I do want to say that all of the major educational events this year were really good for us. We used part of them to secure Greg and kind of bring him into the DealerOn family. But NADA was really strong for us, driving sales, Digital Dealer. All of those events were really great, where it's amazing how many dealers, all of you guys that participate on these webinars, that will come and give us great feedback. And for me, I even met people that I hadn't known, that I'd known of, including even Mike Davenport. I got to spend some time with him even in December at a recent regional event. All of these things for me have been really great because I see growth in the company. I'm feeling that personal growth. It's been really, really exciting. Greg and I don't want to steal your thunder if you're going to bring this up, but Greg and I were invited to go out to Facebook's headquarters, what was that, November? Like just before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, just before Thanksgiving.
And they kind of gave us I think the first half of the day was, okay, we get it, we know that. And the second half of the day was, wow, Facebook advertising is really almost like it's the gold rush. It's almost like AdWords in its infancy. A lot of great things that we'll be experimenting with, a lot of things that we wanted to know more about in terms of their specific advertising kind of options that they have, especially in contrast to some things that AdWords had put out in September or October. Anyway, so a lot of exciting things. It's been a really, really great year, and it has literally positioned us to have probably even a more exciting 2016. So we're super excited about it, and I think the biggest thing for me is just thanks to all the dealers. I wish there were thousands of them, like every single one of our customers were on this webinar so that we could say thanks, because 2015 was amazing, and it really set us up for we're going to have a pretty awesome year this year. So we're really excited about it.
I love it. Greg, do you want to say anything?
That pretty much covered it. We're super pumped. I mean, it's a little bit hectic this week because we literally just moved into the office on Monday, and I've got boxes all over here on the side of the room that aren't even unpacked yet, and we've got to go buy new furniture. I mean, it's been really crazy around here, and then we're spinning up. I'm heading to Vegas next week to keynote a conference. Then we got Digital Dealer the week after that in Orlando, and then I'm heading to Seattle in February, and we're going to be all over the place. I've got the CBT thing in Atlanta coming up. We're definitely heading to a lot of really cool conferences this year. I'm really excited about a lot of them. We're growing like crazy, so we're exploding our team and getting some really cool people to work with us, and it's going to be an awesome year.
Yes, it is. I'm very excited as well. All right, we already have a load of great questions that came in from the audience, so if you gentlemen are ready, we'll get right on into them. Is it all right?
Do it.
All right. Let's start with this great question from Andy. Andy says, what updates do you see Google making in 2016? So, Greg, Ali, I don't know who wants to take this one.
We know that they're going to be pushing out the change to the Google My Business listings that will remove all local information, all location information from Google Plus. That's going to be a huge change. It's already in beta. You can actually log into your account and go ahead and push it through to see what it's going to look like, but it's going to suck. It's going to drastically change business listings because they're no longer showing up on Plus with the social stuff. You're now really only going to show up in your knowledge graph box that's on the right side of any branded searches or on Maps. So that's going to be a huge change that we know is coming because they've already told us it's going to happen. We just don't know the exact date. And then besides that, I'm sure there's going to be some big change to the local algorithm because they do that every year to keep us on our toes. We've seen a lot of tests lately with some paid local advertisements in the service area businesses in California. They're probably going to roll that out nationwide. Beyond that, it'd be pure speculation. Who knows what Google's going to do? They like to kind of throw us for a loop and do some random things all the time so that we can't figure out what they're doing.
They're not really good at telling us what's coming down the pathway. They did a pretty good job with Mobilegeddon last year, right? Other than that, there's a whole lot of, like, we didn't know much about Customer Match that came out, and I think Chris is on the call, too, and he probably can validate. I think it was September that they rolled out Customer Match, which is on the PPC side, which is a very, very cool way of being able to target your audience through AdWords. In my opinion, might be the most interesting thing that they've done as far as their AdWords platform goes, maybe since they launched AdWords itself. Very interesting. But they don't, typically don't tell us a lot. So we try to predict a lot, but most of that comes from the beard.
Don't shave that beard. All right. It's funny that you say that. Now, since you had said that you guys went to Facebook, I'm really excited about this question that came in from Allison. She says, how can I use Facebook to increase my sales and service in the new year? So what did you learn from
Something
Facebook?
Something that would be really awesome on the service side is the new local awareness ads on Facebook. So when you go set up the ad, instead of saying that you want to set up something that's going to lead to likes for your page or clicks to your website, you can do what's called a local awareness ad, and you basically drop a map pin on your dealership, and then you can set the radius as narrow as 1 mile, or you can go wider, and anyone within that radius that then fits the demographics that you set will then see an ad on their phone. It only shows up on mobile, on the Facebook app on mobile, but anybody within that radius that's on Facebook will see that ad. And within that ad, the only option is for them to call now. So it leads to more phone calls. So it would be great for service, or you want an oil change, click here for this deal, or call now to get this deal, or whatever that would be.
So those ads, that local awareness ad just was released recently. It could be really, really cool for service. I mean, the targeting that Facebook allows you to do is really insane. And I would definitely suggest using custom audiences. You've got your entire database of past customers, both people that have purchased and then also the people that you know have already been in once for service. Drop that into Facebook. It's going to match those up to Facebook logins, and then now you can run targeted ads just to past customers. And then you can also drop that in, create that custom audience, and then run an ad at what's called a lookalike audience, which is an audience of people that are separate and unique from your list but match those demographics.
Huh.
So there's a lot of really neat things you can do.
Wow, that is cool.
I think this is also probably a good time to mention just a little bit on some of the stuff they're working on with Passbook, as it's somewhat similar. I've got Michael DeVito, who's our chief creative officer, who manages our dev and design teams as well here, and he'll kind of chime in on exactly what we're working on. This is something that probably the next version will be released in about 30 days or so, Mike?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, this kind of dovetails into what you're talking about, Greg, regarding, you know, service marketing, especially as it pertains to local. You know, in the past, a lot of the different providers have just been going with this, hey, like, print a coupon model, which is great, but, you know, it's not particularly trackable beyond knowing how many people are using it necessarily, and there's no follow-up. So one of the things we're working on, which I think Pep Boys was one of the first ones to market on this, but no one really else in the space is doing it, is taking advantage of Android Pay, which used to be, you know, the Google Wallet application, as well as Apple's Passbook, where you can actually say, hey, add to my Passbook or add to Android Pay on any given offer, coupon, whatever. It'll then add that coupon to your phone, which you can use for redemption. And one of the cool things about it, too, is now that coupon lives on your actual phone. So that offer, that $20 oil change or whatever the case may be, lives on your phone, and you can actually set it up so that when you get within a certain proximity of the dealership or the service center or whatever, it will actually say, hey, you're right near this location. Do you want to use this coupon? You know, or you might want to travel. Go use this coupon. You can set the messaging. So, you know, there's some cool things you can do with that will no longer require us to be in an application to be able to send those notifications to the users. You have to be careful with it, obviously, but there's a cool opportunity there because instead of having to go look for an email or, you know, find that printout, it's always living right there in your phone within the ecosystem.
Mike, do you know how close to the particular location you have to be for those things to trigger?
You can set it. There are settings, but I would obviously say the closer you are, probably the better off you're going to be because you can get pretty obnoxious, especially if you live in a small town and, you know, you live near the dealership. But there's all different kinds of settings. There's a lot of really cool new features that they're rolling out. In particular, I think the Android Pay one there's a ton of new stuff that they're constantly adding for it. So there is actually talk even of potential integration into the knowledge box for some of that stuff to be able to pass that, just like you can do reservations and look at menus and stuff like that in there now. I was reading about the possibility of some of that actually making its way over there as well. So that would be really cool if you could, you know, right from the SERP, be able to serve someone a coupon that go drops into their phone, and now you have that person. You didn't even capture a lead, but you actually can communicate with that person. So some cool stuff.
DeVito, thank you so much for dropping by today. What a nice surprise. Really appreciate it. Okay, before we go any further, Allison, thank you so much for the great question. If you have a follow-up question, please let us know. Related to that Facebook question, though, is also Diane's question. She says, are you guys, I assume she means DealerOn, are you guys running Facebook ads for dealers?
We are.
Yes, we are.
You are? We are?
In stereo. Yes, we are, and including all the things that the previous question talked about. So we can help you set up your campaigns, understand the custom audience, the lookalike audience that Greg mentioned. There's a lot of advanced targeting, especially on the sales side. Pulse data, obviously, is a really big component. But Facebook's targeting methodology is really cool. So if you're not doing it and you don't want to do it yourself, you should call us immediately because we can absolutely help you.
And
very cool.
Probably the most exciting thing when it comes to Facebook advertising is the stuff that we're doing with beacons right now. So we can drop a beacon at your location in the dealership, and that beacon will tag users that come through your dealership. So let's say we drop it right at the front desk. Anybody that comes in within a certain radius of that is going to get tagged by that beacon. And then once we have enough foot traffic, we can start running Facebook ads at actual foot traffic. So think of it as like retargeting ads typically have been run at people that were on your website and then you hit them with retargeting ads later. Now we're running Facebook ads at actual foot traffic that's been in the dealership, and it's pretty exciting. You can do some really neat stuff with it.
Wow, that's cool. Just so you know, follow-up question, by the way, thank you, Diane. Follow-up question came in from Joshua. Joshua says, are you running Facebook ads then within the normal digital ad budget if we allocate it to Facebook?
You can do it that way. Most of the dealers, when we talk to them about setting up Facebook ads, we have a separate budget that they run there just to keep it clean, because typically what a lot of dealers do when they contract for those services with us, they're typically running paid search with us as well. And some of them are also doing display and remarketing. And so a lot of that ends up on the same agreement. But we like to make sure that that is kind of a separate amount so that you can manage it. It's easier to kind of manage and measure that separately than putting it all together. Hope that answers the question. But yeah,
Joshua,
we broke it down.
Thank you for the great question, Joshua. You got a follow-up? Let me know. Bernadette is our next questioner. Bernadette says, love that we're talking about Facebook ads, but – any thoughts on Twitter ads? Greg? Sean?
Well, there certainly are some case studies. In fact, Twitter's site itself, if you actually go into the basement of Twitter.com, you can find some really interesting case studies that have been done. Ford, I think, was the first manufacturer that showed some interesting results. You definitely can get very specific in terms of what types of ads you want to run through Twitter and have some success. I think really what happens through Twitter is, what is your success metric? How are you trying to define success through Twitter? Is it actually selling more cars through Twitter? Is it having a different communication methodology through Twitter to facilitate, you know, selling more cars? Is it broadening an audience? Is it using influencers that are going to help you, right, make your message even that much stronger? There are definitely some interesting case studies there where specific models, I think it was Focus and F-150, had sponsored ads that did end up having a tangible result, lifted and sold the dealership a few more cars, specifically through what they were doing. But you always have to think when you're considering social media is, you know, what do people actually see? All the people that follow you, if you're a Twitter user like I am, how many people really see my tweets? Greg will probably hammer me on this. He's like, very few, because you tweet so sporadically and not very often. But you do have to consider frequency and how often people are seeing what you're posting, and then your audience, how many followers do you have? So once you promote something, promote a tweet, it changes the game a little bit. You're going to get in front of the right people. But is your audience, have you built your Twitter audience to be one that's going to respond well to that? Because we do have, and I've talked to dealers before, that when they initially built their Twitter audience, it was they were basically following everybody they possibly could, and everyone was following them back, and the quality of their audience isn't actually that strong. And if that's your case as a dealer, you may be disappointed with the results of the campaign. So there's a lot of different dynamics. It's kind of a conversation where almost kind of a one-off. You want to kind of find out, at least for us, we want to find out, well, what have you done? How did you build your audience? What does your audience respond to right now when you're tweeting without trying to be sales specific? And then think about, okay, well, could a sales strategy work? All of that said, I'm a big fan of running something for 30 days and seeing what works, right? It's the Internet. It's been that way since the 90s. So all things Internet, there's nothing wrong with a little trial to find out if you actually hit a gold mine. That's the same thing really with what's going on with Facebook. A small amount of spend might really shock you with the results that you can get. So I'd say go for it. And if you need to have a deeper conversation about it, give us a call.
I'm going to just ask for Bernadette. You say a small amount of spend. What kind of spend are we talking about for a 30-day trial? What would you spend?
Well, I can tell you there's so Amy Banner, who is on the retail side with a dealer group in North Dakota, almost freezing North Dakota, she has personally, as a car sales chick, been experimenting with some Facebook ads since my first conversation with her about it was back in October, I think. She started experimenting with some things herself in the way that she kind of markets herself, similar to Mike Davenport actually may have some insight here as well, because of how they are branding themselves, even within the brand of their dealership, which is within the brand of Chevy or whatever your your OEM is. And what she has found is literally like not even $100, $20, $10 on different types of ads where she's trying to get visibility. She's been shocked by very, very small spends. So when I say small spend, I mean there are some trials that you could do that would be less than $100. In most dealerships' cases, you could probably find $500 somewhere to do an experiment on something digital marketing. And that's what I mean by low cost. So for most dealers, something, $500, you're looking good. But you can do a lot of tests even less than $500.
Oh, Bernadette wrote in. Good to know. Thank you. All right. Your next question, Lou is throwing down the gauntlet. He says, do dealers really need to be worrying about SEM if their SEO is working well?
It doesn't even work anymore. I don't know. This is probably a Greg and a Sean question. We're pretty big fans of having both as part of your strategy. Obviously,
you like to diversify. Is that it?
I would ask Lou, how do you know your SEO is doing that well?
And then he'll say, because you're doing it.
For a quote or a statistic that we like to get out is for any specific keyword search, you're typically going to have about 75 to 85% of all the click volume go to organic, and the remaining 20 to 25% go to pay-per-click. So if you really want to be everywhere you can be and maximize the potential of getting a lead from a potential customer, you got to be in both places. Plus, you got to look at the fact that the more places you are on the page, if you're in the three packs of the maps on the local stuff, if you're on organic and you're on pay-per-click, that's three spots on the page, you're that much more likely to catch a click. So why would you not want to do that?
And furthermore, I mean, there's tons and tons of keywords. And no disrespect here, Greg. I don't care how good your SEO strategy is. I don't care how much content you're outputting. I don't care, just there's no way that you're going to rank for the breadth of keywords that you really could go after with a solid SEO and SEM campaign working in tandem. Regardless, even if you were ranking for everything, it would still make sense to do SEM.
And it's actually one of the best parts of digital marketing where you can compare how your organic keywords perform versus your paid search keywords so that you don't have a bunch of overlap so that you can actually have some direction of how to fill in the gaps around paid search. And regardless of whether there's so many arguments about, well, there's only this percentage of people that ever click on ads. Most people, by the way, that spout those statistics, it's because they don't want you to spend any money on paid search. The truth of the matter is that that's still the fastest way for you to be in front of somebody that's looking for you based on who you are and what you sell and where the hell you sell it. If you want a digital marketing choice that's the fastest in front of that audience, it's paid search. It still works brilliantly for car dealers, and it still will. It doesn't matter. The custom match that actually Google put out, we're in the midst of figuring out how to even use that as a component that's better than what they had previously, which was RLSA, which is remarketing lists for search ads. AdWords is still a really awesome platform. You can do a lot of great things with it. So I totally agree with Ali, and actually Greg and I agree on this too. When dealers ask us, okay, we've got a great website because it's with DealerOn. That's right. We've got a great website with DealerOn, so we have a conversion machine, but we need more traffic, right? Where do we start spending money first when it comes to digital marketing choices? I would love for somebody to tell me what's better than SEO and SEM, and then start filling in all the other stuff. Pre-roll, display, remarketing, Facebook ads, social. All of those things are great, but they are absolutely advancing your savviness, if you will, in terms of what you should be doing and where you're going to get the highest return, the easiest for a general manager or a dealer principal to understand is going to come through, I got a great website that converts at a high percentage, and I've got my organic traffic and my paid search traffic along with my direct traffic that clearly tells me this is how I'm winning. And now beyond that, now we start to play with some of the other things that get a little bit more interesting. Absolutely the way to start your business or be running your business with those things in place first.
Well, and typically, too, the people that are clicking on those AdWords, pay-per-click ads, are usually a little bit further down the buying funnel, which means they're going to convert at a higher rate. So it's not to say that the quality of the leads is bad on other stuff. It's just with the pay-per-click stuff, you're catching people a little further down the funnel, so they're more likely to convert into buying customers. So there's that side of it. And then a lot of times when we're having the whole SEO conversation, you know, SEO is a long-term play. It takes a while to get that content rolling and all the links and all the signals you need, and it takes time for that to all accumulate. So in the meantime, you can throw down a lot on pay-per-click and be there immediately because it's instant on. If you put the money out, you're going to be there. So there's definitely advantages to continuing to do everything.
I love it. Now, since we are starting to talk about SEM, we do have a couple poll questions regarding SEM. And audience, we'd love your help on those. So we are going to get to our first of three poll questions right now. Please look at your screen and please take part in this poll question. The question is, how much are you currently spending per month on your digital advertising? Please select one of the following answers. Is it less than $5,000? Somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000? Somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000? Or are you one of those dealerships who spends more than $20,000 per month on your digital advertising? Or maybe it's the last answer, which is, I have no idea. That could be good, too. We just want an answer from you guys. So how much are you currently spending per month on your digital advertising at your dealership? Less than $5,000?
Oh,
yes, sir.
Were we talking SEM, retargeting, PPC, digital advertising? Or are we talking about the full gamut here?
It says on digital advertising, so I think it means the whole thing. I don't know. I mean,
I think this is meant to say for paid search, retargeting, all that, and not the entire digital advertising piece.
Oh, got you. So you're just saying about like SEM, PPC, and like stuff like that, not including website.
Yeah.
All right, so audience, if we misspoke, then I apologize. You can still change your answer, and please select one of the following. How much are you currently spending on a month on your PPC and SEM? That's what we want to know. So is it less than $5,000, more than $5,000, between $5,000 and $10,000, between $10,000 and $20,000, more than $20,000, or you have no idea. I have somebody who wrote in. Thank you so much for writing in. If you can't do it online, I appreciate that. He said he spends $15,000 a month on SEM and PPC. But now that we have the majority of people answering, I think we'll have to close this poll and share the results and hope that they knew what the heck I was talking about. All right, gentlemen. Let's see. 16% of today's audience said that they spend less than $5,000 per month on SEM and PPC. The majority, though, 32%, so nearly a third of today's audience, said that they are between $5,000 and $10,000 per month. And 18% of today's audience said they're between $10,000 and $20,000. Another 18% of today's audience said they're more than $20,000. And then the remaining 16%, they admit they have no idea how much their dealership is currently spending on SEM and PPC. So I don't know if that helps you out, guys, but those were the answers.
Have we ever done a poll question on what type of chocolate our audience prefers? Milk chocolate, dark chocolate?
White chocolate.
White chocolate.
Are there more than three types of chocolate? And
I'd be curious to know.
No, we haven't. But I vote for dark chocolate.
And how much money they spend on their favorite chocolate annually. I'm not going to know that. Just kidding.
Okay. Real quick, let's get to the second poll question, since it also has to do with PPC and SEM. Audience, it's on your screen now. We'd love to know your answer to this, and then we'll get back to your questions. All right? So the question is, who currently handles your PPC and SEM campaigns at your dealership? Please select one of the following answers. Do you do it all in-house? Do you have an agency or a service that handles it all for you? Or how about you don't currently run any PPC or SEM? The fourth answer is, I think we do pay-per-click, but I have no idea who's in charge of it. Or the last answer is, what the hell is PPC? So once we get the majority of the votes in, and by the way, we are getting lots of votes for chocolate, so thanks for that, Sean. We got a couple for milk, a couple for dark. We have one who's very specific, lint dark with red chili. Thank you, Bernadette. And Adam says white for sure. There you go. Okay, so the votes are coming in about this PPC question that I have on the screen, okay? So who currently handles your PPC SEM campaigns? Do you do it all in-house? Do you have a vendor who does it for you? You don't run currently any PPC or SEM campaigns. You're pretty sure you run a PPC campaign, but you have no idea who does it or what the heck is PPC. All right, so we already have a majority of the votes, so I'm going to close this poll and share the results with you guys. Wait till you see these results. 31% of today's audience, about a third, say that they do all their PPC in-house. But the majority, 63% of today's audience, say that they hire an outside agency or service to handle it for them. And then the remaining 6% of today's audience says that they don't currently run a pay-per-click campaign. Interesting. All right. Gentlemen, any comments on that before we go back to questions?
Sounds about right.
That sounds about right. All right. Your next question comes to you from Cindy. Hey, Cindy. She says, how important is ranking and link building to local SEO? Now, Greg, I remember this from the last time you and I webinared together. Link building is a real pain in the butt. So how important is it?
It is hugely important. Hugely important.
Really?
It's the number two. Links pointed to your website is the number two most important piece of the puzzle.
Darn it.
You're trying to fill up. Now, how important is ranking? If it were up to me, ranking wouldn't even be a part of SEO reports ever again because it's a pointless metric. Plus, when we're talking local SEO, your results are going to be drastically different based on your location and your past search history. So tracking rankings is virtually impossible when you want to see what actual customers are seeing. Now, you can kind of do it to keep a handle on a basic idea of how you're showing up, but there's no real way to track that. And even if you could, who cares? So what if you show up number one for 500 phrases? What matters is your SEO effort increasing organic traffic and increasing leads? Organic traffic and leads are the metrics you should be chasing, not rankings.
Very cool. Okay, another question for you, Greg, comes from Bruce. He says, Greg, do you know what is the average Moz domain authority for your best SEO performing sites?
Domain authority is going to be different based on business vertical. For a franchise auto dealership in a normal size metro area, we typically expect to see high 20s to low 30s for domain authority on Moz. Now, I have seen some dealers that are in the mid to upper 30s. I've seen a few that are in the 40s, but really if you fall above a 27, below, if you fall in the 27 to 35 range, you're right in line with what most dealers are. But also keep in mind, I've had dealers that have a domain authority of a 17 or 18 that still rank number one in their area. So you've got to look at what that metric really means, and they're just using Moz's algorithm and what's looking at Open Site Explorer and other factors to give you that domain authority metric, to kind of give you a general comparison between sites. Your domain authority is never an end-all be-all of how your site's going to perform in local searches.
Okay. Bruce, I hope that helped you out. Certainly. We're here if you got some more questions for us. Okay. Next question comes to you from Steve. Oh, this is a good question. He says, I saw that there are new domain extensions like .car and .auto. Should we be buying these for our dealership? You're laughing, but no words are coming out of your mouth.
Not a good way. You can get a domain name off of GoDaddy for $10 a year. Or you can go buy .car, .car, .auto, .autos, whatever, for $3,000 a year.
What?
If you really want to spend $3,000 for a marketing play, then go for it. Now, in some cases, it could really make sense to do this. If you've got a large dealer group and you want to get, like, Dallas.cars or Texas.cars, who are we talking to? We actually talked to a dealer group the other day, Hubert Vester, that they're, instead of HVAutoGroup.com, they're going to go with HV.auto. So in some cases, it makes sense. It has zero play on SEO. for marketing, it could make sense, but if you've got a well-established domain that everybody knows and it's not, like, super long or clunky, okay, great. The Huffines example is a good one, too.
Yeah, Huffines here in Dallas, the dealer group's been around for 80, 90 years. Somebody bought Huffines.com a long time ago, and they've been parked on it forever, and it's like a ransom. Like, they want a ridiculous amount of money for it, so Huffines, their portal site's always been .net, which is not optimal for them, so they're actually considering, you know, whether they might want to go with Huffines.cars for their portal. But it's even at the $3,000 mark, which is, I think, Greg and I have had some conversations with the folks that are very involved with that. And there, to Greg's point, there are definitely some instances where that will make sense. But there's a cost factor for others that, it's going to be hard for dealers to go, I'll spend $3,000 for a URL versus I can go and buy some over GoDaddy that are not .cars for $10 or whatever they are.
I mean, no, and I'm sure you guys, if they have $3,000 to spend, I'm sure you guys could think of someplace else that they could better utilize that money, right?
Well, the point is there are some cases where it would make sense to do this. If you've got a really clunky domain name because the one that you want has already been taken, then you can go get anything you want. I mean, this just opened up to the public like a week ago, so pretty much everything out there is available. You can get two-letter domain names. Like right now, you can't get ab.com because two-letter domain names cost tens of thousands of dollars. You could go do this here for $3,000 and get, ab.auto or ab.cars. If that makes sense to you for the way that you market your dealer group or even your dealership, then great. And if you want to get like Denver.cars, LA.cars, or LA.auto, that's great. But do you really want to get rid of the domain name that you've had for 10, 15, 20 years, or even 5 years that you've got all this history on and all this value on to switch to something else? If you're going to do it because you're going to market that in print ads, TV, radio, and everything, great. If you're just going to switch it, it's not going to make any difference on your SEO, and you're losing the value of the domain that you've had for a while. And domain age is a factor. It's a small factor, but it is a factor in Google's algorithm. So does it make sense for some people? Definitely. Does it make sense for everybody? I would say probably not.
And in the spirit of complete transparency, I know personally somebody who I've been in this industry for a long time with that knows the guys that are kind of bringing those domains to market. And if you want to know more about it, send me a personal email, Sean, S-H-A-U-N, at dealeron.com, and I'll connect you with those guys for if you have further questions that you can talk directly with those folks. Really good people. They certainly have a vision behind what they're trying to accomplish. And probably best articulated directly from them, and I'm happy to bridge that gap if you're really interested in learning more about it.
Thank you so much. That's very kind of you, Sean. I would reach out to him if I were you, guys. All right, Steve, thank you for the great question. Here's another great question that came to us. This one comes from Larry. Larry says, what's a good load time for my mobile site, and how can I check my mobile site's load time? Under 3 seconds? That's it. And he said all bunches of other stuff. Okay, so this one comes from Larry. So what's a good load time for my mobile site? Anyone?
Mike, still there?
Oh, Mike DeVito, are you here? Hello?
He was here, wasn't he?
He was here.
I thought he was there.
Hey, this is Chris. I'll jump
really
in.
He's done so much on this lately.
Did we lose DeVito?
DeVito, Mr. Mike DeVito stepped out of the room, but I think Larry has the stat pretty close to accurate. I think that the latest consumer data shows that about 40% of consumers will abandon or say that they'll abandon a site if the load time is more than 3 seconds. And I know that Google's push, and I think that they're trying to get this to happen by the end of 2016, is to get websites to load in under a second, which is basically unheard of in our space right now. So I think Google is going to encourage everyone to be as aggressive as possible about, you know, stripping down their mobile sites so that they can load as fast as, you know, Google expects them to.
Wow. Okay. I think the second part of Larry's question was, how can I check my mobile site's load time? Does anyone have that off the top of their head, or should we wait for DeVito to come back?
Yeah, if you actually Google like mobile friendly test, something like that, or mobile site test, you'll see probably the first or second in organic listings is actually the Google Developer Tool, where you can type in your URL right there and hit the analyze button.
If you're mobile friendly, it doesn't show how fast it loads.
Are you sure?
Yeah. There's a lot of, just do a site speed test, like do a Google search for site speed test or page load speed test,
but some
and find
things,
that.
Like don't do the...
Like DeVito, you know what? What's DeVito's email address?
There's a particular website, it's called webpagetest.org, that actually shows how fast your site loads. It'll show like first paint and visually complete. It is a little bit more focused on showing how the site tests out for actual consumers as opposed to how, you know, Google's best, you know, how Google recommends you tweak certain aspects of your site. So it's sort of more of a consumer picture of how your site loads. And they also allow you to record it so you can, you know, go back and see, okay, at 3 seconds, this much was loaded. At 6 seconds, this much was loaded.
Oh.
So, and you can check out just about any page on your site that way. So it's pretty powerful. You can even compare different sites against each other based on, you know, how they load different times.
I love that. Okay, so that was webpagetest.org. Was that right?
That was it.
Ah, I love it. And then one of our dealers, John, he wrote in, SEOpoints.org also shows page speed score. I love dealers helping dealers. Thank you so much for that too, John. Thank you so much. Larry, great question. All right, next question comes to you from Mike. We're probably going to hear from everyone on this one. Mike says, what do you see as the biggest mistake dealers are making in digital marketing? That one comes from Mike.
Mike Davenport? Was this Mike Davenport?
No, it wasn't Mike Davenport. You're so cute.
Well, then I guess I'll have to give a legitimate answer. The biggest mistake I see dealers not making in digital marketing is not having me do their SEO.
Boom. All right, that was his answer, Sean.
Okay, first is the one I have to say because it's, you know, it's the dealer on webinar. So the biggest mistake I see is dealers that don't use our company for their digital marketing services. But beyond that, regardless of who you're using, probably the biggest mistake is just a failure to execute on the things that they already kind of know, right? They're just not pulling the trigger on the things that they already know. So it's like vapor lock. I know a little bit, but I'm not doing anything. And that usually starts with you are not changing your website provider, and you need to. And I know that sounds really selfish, but don't just take it from me. Ask anybody that you would consider to be an expert if you should keep a website that converts at 0.8%, right? Your website has a job to do. All the other things that you add onto it are so critical. You want to sell more cars? Well, you know, people are not walking through your door. They're walking onto your website. And if it doesn't do its job, you need to shoot it and call us.
Yep.
Really fast, Carolina says, the audio is cutting out. Will you please say the name of the site again? So that was webpagetest.org. Carolina, I hope you got that. I'll write it to you as well. And then Bobby Heron wrote in. Oh, Bobby Heron, you have been all over my newsfeed lately, girl. Bobby says, dealers who don't make the investment to educate themselves on how to understand the reporting is also another huge mistake that they're doing. And if you were a brand new dealership owner, what is the first digital item you would evaluate? What's your top priority? Bobby says, if you were a brand new dealership owner, what would be your first digital item you would evaluate? Gentlemen?
The website, because the website is the foundation of everything else that you do. You can't do SEO without a website. You can't do pay-per-click without a website. I mean, you could do Facebook without a website, but what's the point? You've got to have your website all in order before you can do anything else.
I love it. Yeah, and all of your advertising points to your website, too, right?
Yep.
It's your number one marketing tool. All right, Bobby, thank you so much. Obviously, websites. Yeah. Okay, next question. Bobby, you and me, we got to talk after the show sometime. All right. Next question comes to you. Actually, I'm going to take a second to go into our last poll question right now. We have a few more questions from the audience we're going to get to right after this poll question. It's on your screen now. Last poll question of our very first webinar in 2016. We'd love your feedback on this. We want to know, how would you describe the current health of your website's SEO? Ooh, good question. Please select one of the following answers. We rank highly for the keywords that drive traffic. It could be better, but, you know, we're sitting here, we're plugging along, we're trying. It's simply not a priority for us at this time. I don't know, but I would love an SEO audit, or awful, just awful. And maybe you'll put a face palm in there. All right, so we want to know, how would you describe the current health of your website's SEO? Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results, and then you'll know what everyone else is doing in their dealerships, all right? So do you think that your website's SEO is ranking highly for the keywords that drive the most traffic? Do you believe that your website SEO could be better? But, you know, we're trying over here. We're trying. Do you believe your website's SEO is simply not a priority for your dealership at this time? You have no idea what your website's SEO is like, but you know what? You know that you would love an SEO audit, which, before I go any further, Greg, we do SEO audits, don't we?
We sure do.
We sure do. That's right. So if you want an SEO audit, that's the one you should be clicking, pals. All right, and then the last one is awful. It's just awful. Facepalm, website SEO, fail. All right, so we already have a majority of the votes in. I'll leave it open for a couple more seconds. And then, audience, get your questions in because we're going to have to close out the show pretty darn soon. And we have a prize to give away, too. So let's close out this question and share the results. All right, the majority of my wonderful audience today, 52%, say that they rank highly for the keywords that drive traffic. You guys must have Greg doing your SEO. All right, 39% of today's audience says...
Richard, you better have quit that, by the way.
39% says it could be better, but, you know, we're trying over here. Only 3% of today's audience says it's simply not a priority for us at this time. What? Who said that? 6% of today's audience says... I don't know, but I would love an SEO audit. And no one picked the last answer, which was awful, just awful, facepalm. All right, so audience, thank you so much for helping us out with those poll questions. We do very much appreciate it. We have a few more questions to get to from the audience, and then we'll be giving away a prize, all right? So here we go. Next question comes in from Kristen. Kristen says, are we going to have any webinars on Yelp? The last one you did was really informative. Kristen, I guess this one question is for me. Thank you so much, Kristen. I will try and find you another presenter to do it on Yelp. Although I will say, Thursday, January 28th, the last Thursday of this month, we are going to have Peter Martin on the show, and he is going to specifically talk about online reputation management, and he does believe Yelp is a four-letter word, and I know he's going to be hitting on Yelp. So I know that that one is going to be on there, and I will see if later on in this year I can find you somebody to talk about Yelp. All right? Thank you so much for the great question, Kristen. All right, next question is from Mark. Mark says, what is the best way to use video for SEO ranking? Video SEO. Greg, you want to hit that? That comes from Mark.
Video SEO is nowhere near what it used to be now that Google took away the ability to get the snippet preview thumbnail to show up in search results. So really, I wouldn't count video as a giant SEO play anymore. Now, you can optimize the heck out of certain videos on YouTube and get them to show up really well in YouTube searches for people that are searching YouTube, which a lot of the younger generation does do. So there is a play there, but for standard SEO, you might get a really specific vehicle video to maybe show up, but it's definitely not something I would put a priority on. Video I would use more because it's great for your customers. It's really engaging. It's going to increase your conversions on your site more than saying, I'm going to do video just because it's going to show up in Google.
Interesting. All right. Thank you so much for that. All right. Last couple of questions, and then we'll close out the show. Joe writes in, can you provide SEO services to dealers that don't use your websites? Ooh. Does DealerOn do that?
Yes, we can. We are platform agnostic. I can do SEO for anyone, even the poor souls who are trapped on the platform that rhymes with McRobalt.
I think I know who you're talking about, so thank you for that. But then doesn't it just make their websites look good? I'm just saying.
Yeah,
all right.
Great example. Every Audi dealership has to have a dealer.com site, period, end of story. If your OEM agreement states that you absolutely have to be on a certain platform and you have zero other choices in the matter, okay, well, if you're on a platform that's not one of the best platforms, what are you going to do? You've got to get somebody awesome to do SEO for you, and you've got to get somebody awesome to do your pay-per-click to make up for the disadvantage of being on a suckier website platform. So why would I say no to somebody that needs my help?
Double G, I totally hear what you're saying. Okay, last question for you, and then we'll give away a prize, all right? Ken wrote in, how important are all the various online directories, yellow pages, smart pages, insider pages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to your dealership in terms of Google or Bing or just SEO in general? So online directories, good, bad, meh?
If you come see me at Digital Dealer in 2 weeks, I'll be talking exactly about this. They are important insofar as you should be where Google expects you to be. So if Google expects that a car dealership is going to be listed on, and I'm pulling this number out of the air for the example, I don't know what the number is, but let's say Google expects that your car dealership should be listed on these 50 directories, and you're only on 30 of them, well, then that's going to hurt how you're going to potentially show up in local searches. It's also incredibly, incredibly important to Google's algorithm that the information that shows up, which in the industry we call your NAP information, name, address, and phone number, it has to be 100% absolutely consistent everywhere it appears. So, for instance, if you're doing call tracking like a lot of car dealers like to do and you're throwing a different phone number on every possible directory out there, then none of your phone numbers are going to match. Or if you've moved addresses, you've outgrown your location and moved to a shiny new awesome showroom, and you don't go and update all that directory information, now you've got mismatched address information out there. If you have any bad, mismatched, or incomplete information, or even duplicate listings out there, it can really hurt how you're showing up in searches. So it's really important to have all your ducks in a row when it comes to the directories.
Okay, I lied. We have some people who just snuck in all these questions on you, Greg. I'm so sorry. Joshua, for instance, he says, you made a comment earlier about video, more so for the content for the end user. He's referencing Gary Vaynerchuk. He says he talks a lot about depth, not width, plus creating awesome content. So before, Greg, when you were talking about video SEO not being as powerful as it used to be, you still admit, of course, that video is still a powerful medium and dealerships should be doing video, right?
Well, yeah, that's why I said that when I was talking. I said don't do it for SEO. Do it for your customers. It's hugely engaging. There's tons of, Google video conversion out there, and you see anytime you put video in anything, it's going to convert better. And it's useful for your customers. And now with the bandwidth that everybody's got on cell phones, there's no problem with putting video on mobile sites, and video is just a better engagement metric. I mean, you can see that people are watching. People are going to – what would you rather do, hit a website and read a big, long, boring paragraph, or would you rather hit a website and watch a cool video? You're going to watch the video every time. So it's definitely something you should be doing. It just shouldn't be, hey, I'm going to do video because SEO.
Excellent.
And listen, most of the video service providers offer a VSEO component, right? It's almost standard now. And that's a good thing. If you are outsourcing that, it's super easy to tell your vendor, yeah, we want that component. So they optimize the video content, and then you'll get that type of lift that you're expecting from it. But it's super easy to do that. If you're doing it on your own, then a little bit of research, literally spend half of a day and you'll understand where you need to actually do your own optimization on those videos that you're uploading. But if you're trying to upload, you know, a ton of videos on a daily or weekly basis, you're probably outsourcing it. Just ask that vendor to make sure that they're doing the optimization on each of those videos.
Love it. All right, Joshua, thanks for the great question. Lisa wrote in, Greg, do you have a priority list for directory listings? Which one should I be concentrating on first?
If you come see me at Digital Dealer, I'll speak exactly about this. Best thing to do is go to the Moz local tool, moz.com/local/search. You drop in the name of your dealership and your zip code, and then it's going to spit out a list of all possible matches. You really only want to see one. If you see multiple matches, then that shows you've got some problems you need to get cleaned up. But you'll have your one main one that says verified because that's your Google listing. If you click on that, it then takes you to a screen and shows you the 15 most important citation sources or directory sites that you should be listed on. Definitely hit those 15. Beyond that, there's a lot of people in local SEO that say you really need to worry about 20 or 30 for your specific vertical and whatever. We're kind of the opinion that everything helps, so there's going to be a lot of stuff in your specific local area. Typically, the local newspapers and local TV stations will have directory listings for local businesses. You want to be on anything that's a locally oriented directory listing. You know, you want to have a listing on AutoTrader, Cars.com, anything that's related to the vertical. So any kind of automotive-related place that you can have your name, address, phone number listed is also important. But for the main 15, definitely check the Moz local tool.
Excellent. Okay, Lisa, I hope that helps you out. Oh, she says thanks, and she wishes she was going to be able to see you in Orlando. Last question comes to you from Bradley. He says, is Greg giving away Star Wars prizes at his talk in Digital Dealer 20? Don't tell me.
You ask. It is actually, hold on.
Where'd he go? Oh, bearded one.
I got my lightsaber for this one.
Are you giving that away?
No, I'm not giving this away. I made this at Disney World last year, and I've got my BB-8 tin here. I'm like creepy. I'm like Star Wars-tastic today, right? My presentation at Digital Dealer is actually titled How to Be a Local SEO Jedi, and it will be all Star Wars movies in the deck this time. So, yes, I am going to be giving away one of these Sphero BB-8 droids, the $150 little rolling BB-8 droid.
Are you serious? My kid really wants that.
You could win that.
That is awesome. Okay, cool. Bradley says, LOL, I already knew the answer. I knew it was coming. Bradley, I hope we see you in Orlando, as well as all of you. I hope all of you can make it to Orlando. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful show. Sean, Greg, Chris, DeVito, if you're there. Ali, if you're still there. Anyone else who showed up, thank you so much for being here today. We're going to give away a prize now. I hope you guys are ready. Audience, here you go. It's that time. If you missed it at the beginning of the webinar, well, I announced that our good friends at AutoHook, they're sponsoring this week's webinar giveaway. AutoHook, as you know, is a showroom traffic driver. They've built the ultimate attribution engine, which tracks that customer through the lead, showroom visit, and purchase, and then delivers a cost per sale that's best in the industry. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win a $250 e-gift card from our friends at AutoHook. Now, all you have to do is answer a simple question. It's not that simple, actually. It's really hard. It's a really hard question. Okay, so get to your keyboards. I'm not going to lie. You might have to Google this, all right, because we didn't mention it in the show. So you might have to Google it, but it's okay. We're looking for an answer that goes to one decimal point. Good luck, everyone. Of course, we want to tell all you vendors out there, please sit this one out. We do appreciate that you're here today, but this prize is intended for dealership personnel only. All right, but here we go. Good luck, everyone. How many millions of new vehicle sales does NADA predict for the year 2016, for this year? How many millions of new vehicle sales does NADA predict for 2016? We're looking for it to the point something. Ooh, people are close. Alex Jefferson, you're close. Uh-oh, we have a winner. Darn it, if it isn't Chris Franklin again. Chris Franklin got it right. 17.7 is the answer. Kurt Franklin, you are always Johnny on the spot. You, geez Louise, you are good. Alex Jefferson, I didn't know you were on today. Alex Jefferson guessed 17.4. So close, dude, so close. It was 17.7 was the correct answer. Chris Franklin, right on in. Let me know what dealership you're from, my friend. I know you switched dealerships recently, so congratulations. Audience, thank you so much for playing along. Don't worry if you didn't win today, because you know what? We give away cool prizes every week at every Dealer On webinar. So come on back next week. Who knows? That could be your lucky day to walk away with a cool webinar prize. Congratulations, Chris Franklin. And, of course, we want to thank our good friends at AutoHook for their incredible generosity. And for more information about AutoHook, please check out their website at lead2show.com. Thank you so much. All right. Bob Cockerham says he wants somebody to call him about an SEO audit. Let me write your name down, Bob. We love hearing from you. And and that is it. Let me close out the show now. I know I have something written down about this. Are you running this show? All right, here we go. Thank you, of course, to the Dealer On executive team for joining us today. Aliran Mirazvani, Greg Gifford, Sean Rains, Chris Deringer, and Mike DeVito. Fantastic presentation. We're going to have another one of these marketing briefings at the very first Thursday of Q2. So please come on back and join us there. I want to remind the audience, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording is going to be emailed to you later today for your reference. Please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. And today's webinar is also going to be posted online within 24 hours. All you have to do is go to dealeron.com/webinars. And there you can view our upcoming webinar schedule and access any of our past webinars, too. And I just want to tell you, I'm really excited when we have these marketing briefings. And, of course, this one was the first one for 2016. I hope you enjoyed it. We plan on doing one at the beginning of every quarter. And we want these automotive marketing briefings to be as awesome as possible. So if you could write to me and tell me what you thought of it, what subjects you'd like to hear more about, what topics maybe we should be delving deeper into, what really interests you, we're going to start to work on that for our next Dealer On Academy webinar in Q2. It would really help us out, really mean a lot to me. Also, you know, you can put it right into the survey. We want to know what you thought of today's presentation. So check out our survey. It's really short, 6 questions. Let us know. Give us your feedback. We want to know what you thought. And we're going to randomly select a couple of people from all those completed surveys to also win a couple of Google prizes. And I want to let you know DealerOn is going to be exhibiting and presenting at the upcoming Digital Dealer Convention in Orlando later this month. Are you going to be there? Because I'm going to be there. Stop by booth 401 and check us out. Talk to us. Stop by. Say hi. Who knows what we're going to have at the booth, but you're not going to want to miss it. Booth 401. Can't wait to see you there. And yeah, we're going to have a party, too. So if you are going to be in Orlando, you can't miss our party. We throw the best parties, dude. The best. Bar none. It's going to be Wednesday night on January 20th at 9 p.m. And if you want to check out what's happening at Mango's that night, Mango's Tropical Cafe in Orlando, well, you got to stop by booth 401 and get yourself a free pass. We look forward to seeing you there. And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next Dealer On webinar, 10 Key Texting Techniques That Drive Results. We've never really done a webinar on texting, so I'm really, really excited about this one. Texting has quickly become an essential technology that dealerships must master in order to stay ahead of their competition. When done properly, texting easily increases appointment shows, quickly boosts customer trust and loyalty, and effortlessly opens a dialogue with consumers. And, hey, it ultimately helps you sell more cars. So with results like that, it's a wonder that every dealership isn't concentrating more on their texting techniques. However, many dealerships are unsure and inconsistent with their texting strategies and messages. Are you one of them? Would you like to implement proven successful texting strategies into your sales process? In this stirring one-hour webinar, Jerry Tebow is going to dive into an expanded session focused solely on text messaging, where he will be sharing cutting-edge sales techniques and modern technologies to sell more cars. In this must-see presentation, he's going to help you navigate how to properly engage your customers via text message while still keeping your dealership TPC compliant. You're going to learn the wow factor that's going to impress your prospects with the 10 key texting techniques that will make a big difference in your bottom line. This is your chance to hear from one of our industry's best and brightest. If you're ready to learn 10 key texting techniques that drive results, then don't you dare miss this webinar. So register today. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions about these webinars and our topics, contact me directly. I love hearing from you. My name is Eliana Raggio, and you can track me down online, Facebook, Twitter, Google+. I'm on all the automotive social networks, or email me directly at eliana@dealeron.com. Thank you all so very much for spending this time with us today, and I hope to see you all on another webinar in Dealer On's continuing education series. Take care.